Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are speaking with Marcus Morden, the coordinator of the Bisexual Index in the UK and magical speaker on bisexuality. I've been on your LinkedIn page, obviously. Welcome, Marcus.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Lynette. I'm very glad to be here.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. So, Marcus, tell us about yourself and your work.
Well, what can I say? I've been involved with the bisexual community in the UK for over 20 years. My first bisexual events were in 1992 that I attended, and I've been part of the UK bi community ever since. In the last couple of years, I've become self-employed, working as a trainer, specialising in bisexual issues and bisexual engagement within mainly LGBT organisations and larger businesses, looking to better interact with their bisexual staff and their bisexual volunteers.
A much needed endeavor. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that's
you
great.
You also are the coordinator of the Bisexual Index. If people are not familiar with that, I will be providing the links, and it is definitely worth looking at.
Thank you. I hope people do go and have a look at the website and like what they see. It's been up the website since early 2009, and it was a reaction, I think, really, as an initial movement to people saying that what they wanted to find out was clear and concise bisexual information, but wasn't really written from an academic point of view. But what they were looking for was a conversation about bisexuality that they could take bits of and use themselves. It's in the language that people themselves would use when talking about being bisexual to the people they're coming out to. So the sort of words you use when you're talking to your parents or to your children, and not just to your humanities professor. We've been going since 2009 on the website. We've been fairly consistently trying to make sure that what we have is a very concise set of definitions for the words we use. One of the things is that a lot of non-bisexual organizations that talk about sexuality do define what words mean for people reading their websites who might be unfamiliar with them. So they'll talk about things like homophobia, and they'll talk about things like transgender, and they'll talk about bisexuality. They probably won't talk about biphobia. But when they talk about bisexuality, they often give extremely long-winded explanations. And they'll say things like, bisexuality can include a number of things such as, and then there'll be a list. Or they'll say, bisexuality is fluid. Or they'll say, it is changeable. And what these do is they make it very complicated for people. They make bisexuality into this complicated thing. And the difficulty there is that if bisexuality is complicated, it's much harder for people to be certain that they're bisexual. And what people want, I think, is to see an easy, simple definition of bisexuality that they can say to themselves, does this apply to me? If it does, great, maybe I'll use it. If it doesn't, okay, but now I know what some bisexual people define bisexual as. Because if bisexuality is confusing and complicated, then being bisexual is difficult, then the number of people who are bisexual is going to be smaller, and that plays into people saying that, you know, bisexuals were few and far between, and no one could be really bisexual because no one fits an exact definition. So many places used to define bisexual as being, you know, equally attracted to men and women. And the problem with that is that you'd get people like Michael Musto, the opinion piece writer, saying things like, you know, have you ever met a bisexual? I mean, is anyone actually 50-50? And this is a difficulty that people don't have when they talk about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
No one says, well, I'm attracted to only men, but I'm only a bit attracted. Oh, well, then you're not gay.
Yeah,
oh, I'm quite attracted. Oh, yeah, are you attracted enough? No. If you're only attracted to one gender, what does your level of attraction need to be to qualify in the eyes of the straight and gay community mm-hmm. as straight and gay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you can be straight with a low libido, then it stands to reason you can be bisexual, but be mainly attracted to men. Or
exactly.
mainly attracted to people with long hair, regardless of gender.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, mainly attracted to guitarists.
Mm-hmm.
Because people would always come up to me and say things like, you know, but Marcus, are you 50-50? Are you 50-50, Marcus? I'd say, if I was, you know, feeling kind, I'd say, well, no, I'm more sort of 60-70. And mm-hmm. they'd look confused, and they'd say, but that doesn't add up to 100. And I'd say, well, why would it need to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the amount I'm attracted to men doesn't alter the amount I'm attracted to women, and if it was somebody who I thought was pretty clueless about a range of things and wanted to mess with them a bit, I'd say I'm more sort of 60-70-40 and watch them try and work out what the third category
yeah.
is, because, you know, there is more than two genders, but those might not be the categories that I divide people into when I find them attractive.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not attracted to men because they're men and women because they're women, because that would be pretty much everyone in those categories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm attracted to sorts of looks, sorts of personalities, sorts of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those seem to be gendered. Some of those don't seem to be gendered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm looking back over the people I've been attracted to in my life, then dividing them into two ill-fitting boxes called male and female isn't the way I do it. It's the way mainstream society wants bisexual people to divide up their partners. If you start saying to them, well, you know, I've had 12 partners, 6 of them had long hair and 8 of them were guitarists and 5 of them had tattoos, people start to get either confused or a bit grumpy with you because you're not playing their game.
Mm-hmm.
And the straight and gay world game is dividing everybody up into two boxes, calling those boxes male and female, and then being comfortable that they've got that one thing sorted and out of the way.
I think that really is one of the reasons we do make them so uncomfortable, because,
yeah,
you know, for me, when I'm attracted to someone, it has very little to do whatever gender they have. You know, it is that person that I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a cliche, but it's true.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's why the definition we use on the website for the Bisexual Index is bisexuality means attraction to more than one gender.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying how many genders there are. We're
mm-hmm.
not saying how much you need to be attracted to them. We're not saying it has to be sexual rather than romantic. We're not saying
mm-hmm.
it has to be equal or simultaneous or currently. You know, when you look in the dictionary, as people do at an early age, and they look up all the words to find out what they mean, you know, age 7 or 8, you're going through and you're looking up words like, you know, homosexual and penis and so on to find out what they all are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Find out how to pronounce clitoris. You get to the definition of bisexual and it says, you know, attracted to both men and women. And this means that people looking for the bisexual movement or talking about bisexuals or thinking about bisexuality have got a concept in their head. But what they don't notice is that that definition is the odd one out. The definition of heterosexual, when you look it up, doesn't say attracted to men if you're a woman and women if you're a man. The definition
mm-hmm.
of homosexual doesn't say attracted to men if you're a man and women if you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
No, homosexual and heterosexual just talk about being attracted to either people of a similar gender to you or different gender to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people used to say same and opposite, but talking about more than two genders, talking about there being a spectrum or a range with gender in society. People who are similar to me only, that's gay. People who are different to me only, that's heterosexual. Neither of those definitions for gay and straight in the dictionary talk about men and women. So I don't think the bisexual definition should either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things we've been concerned about is the the wording in the dictionaries, because it does cause contention.
It does, and the dictionary obviously follows usage. So as time goes by, words get updated. You know, a few years ago, there was a court case at the European Court where the ruling council of a large Greek island went to the European Court and wanted to take on the LGBT community, because what they wanted to do was stop people using the word lesbian, because they said the correct meaning of the word lesbian is resident of the Isle of Lesbos in Greece. And they said, we want to stop gay women using the word lesbian. It's offensive to the lesbian men, lesbian women, and lesbian children on the Isle of Lesbos. Because words change. And they went to court, took it to European court, lost, obviously, because it's impossible to fight that kind of, you know, march of history. The word gay used to mean happy. Only. The word queer had a different meaning. So as time changes, I think the dictionary will update. But the important thing is that I think people realize that it's a historical definition. It's somewhere to start with. If people have been brought up very much in a gendered background, where there are very definitely boys things and girls things, we're moving away from that now, but there are still plenty of places in the world where gender roles are quite rigid and part of the fabric. They've got a definition that they can understand. And for all it does wrong, the dictionary definition doesn't say equally.
That's true.
It doesn't say but when people say things like, oh, bisexual means you're only attracted to men and women, then I think it's very useful to point out the definitions of heterosexual and homosexual don't say men and women, you know, because if heterosexual people are attracted to other people of different genders and homosexual people are attracted to other people of similar genders, then bisexual people can be both of those two categories, which is attracted to similar and different genders.
Exactly.
In which case, that's two categories of genders, not saying there's only two genders.
Right, category instead of just saying two genders.
Yeah.
I always, when I run into this problem, I always encourage people to check with the bisexual organizations, because it's our word and we define it. So,
absolutely.
Right.
I mean, when I first arrived on the bisexual scene in the early 1990s, then the popular slogan was things like, like men, like women, like both, you might be bisexual. Mm-hmm. And that was the language of the time. But since then, you know, 25 years have happened. I've been around for a long time. But since then, a lot of things have changed. You know, we've gone from saying that T in LGBT was transsexual to transgender to trans as an umbrella term.
Right.
You know, we've moved on from the idea that there are only two categories there. We have people now in our communities who are male, who are female, who are bigender, who are agender, who are gender neutral, who are gender queer, who are all sorts of genders. And it's not just that, you know, we only encounter people who are being men or being women. So the language has changed as the community's changed, and the move towards things like more than one gender and taking specific genders out of that, I think, has really been part of having such a strong trans presence in the bi community.
Well, according to whatever statistics you look at, it's 25-35% of us are trans identified.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's always been that way. It's just we have a different language to talk about it. And our attraction, as far as I know, the attractions have always been the same. It's just we have different language to talk about it now.
Yeah. So we've got the definition of bisexual on the website, which is attraction to more than one gender. We talk about bisexuality meaning more the two categories of people, ones who are like us and not like us. We've got an extensive FAQ about what is biphobia, should the B be part of LGBT, if so many people are bisexual, where are they all? Why is it that bisexual people seem to end up most often in different sex relationships rather than similar sex relationships? All of these things where people have said, but there's this thing, there's this question I've always wanted to ask. Isn't it, aren't you? Are you greedy? Are you indecisive? Are you flipping from one gender to the other? Are you always running back to the straight community? And we've just sat down and gone, look, there is an easy explanation to why people believe these myths. Let's make it understandable. Let's use the plainest language we can so that it's something people could go, right, next time someone says to me, but isn't it greedy, I can tell them this. You know, when somebody says, well, don't you have a preference? If you prefer men, why not just say you're gay, Marcus? We've got the bits down there where it explains that, you know, preferring lettuce to liver doesn't make you a vegetarian.
Exactly.
You know? When people say, but bisexuality is greedy, the explanation on the website talks about how if you're at a salad bar and you're there with your friend Jim, Jim really only likes coleslaw. So Jim's got his bowl. He's just filled it with coleslaw. It's coleslaw up to the top. He has a neat pyramid of coleslaw in his bowl. It looks like it'll make you ill. It's that much coleslaw. I, on the other hand, go up. I like coleslaw. I like the tomatoes. I like the lettuce. I like the breadsticks. I don't like the cucumber. I like the onion rings. I'll have a bit of everything. My bowl's not going to have as much coleslaw as Jim's. Which of us is greedy? The person who's emptied the coleslaw bowl has taken all the coleslaw. But all I've got is a breadth of attraction. That doesn't mean that I'm going to eat more food because I like a range of foods.
Right.
When it comes to sexuality, I have a breadth of attraction that a straight man of my age probably doesn't have. Because they're attracted only to people they can easily tag in their head as women, whereas my attraction is based less on, can I first force people into one of those two boxes to either keep or junk.
Right.
And it's based on other factors. So I've got a breadth of attraction. That doesn't mean that I'm having any more sex than anyone else. It doesn't mean that I'm taking more than my share. It doesn't mean that I'm taking somebody else's. It's just, for me, attraction isn't primarily based on, does this person pass a gender test first, tick yes, cross no, for me to be interested in.
Right, exactly. I kind of stole your question, John, and I do apologize for that.
Oh, John has a question. Ask me a question, John.
So I'm just going to keep trying, but let's go on. Let's talk about a little bit about BiCon this year. Are you going to be participating in that?
Yes. I've been going to BiCon since 1992. Since then, I've only missed two of them. I've been to international BiCons as well. I've been to five of those, both in the UK and in North America, in the US and Canada. I'm going to be at this year's BiCon. Anything down to present currently this year. I've got some ideas which I'm still working on for things I'm going to submit. I've recently expanded the training I do for companies about bisexuality at the request of one of my most recent clients. They wanted a full, you know, day's worth of training. And so what we did was I gave them a 5-hour training package on bisexuality. I put in every single thing I could when it's just me. There's a limit to how much one person can tell you because, you know, I'm a white, cisgendered, middle-aged guy with no visible disabilities. There's a limit to how, you know, much of a range I can present. I'm mainly drawing from my experiences and 20 years in the bike community. So what I want to do is talk to some people at BikeOn about ways to move forward with that, possibly to organize or set up a one-day training event for companies to send people to learn about bisexuality. Because BikeOn's very much a community event. Various organizations do send representatives to it. So things like universities might send a student who's part of the student union, maybe student union welfare team, to learn about the B part of LGBT. But it's very much that when they get there, there's this whole range of things. There's like 50 or so workshops on across the weekend, and they are told, well, you can go and do any of these you want to. And so at the end of the weekend, they might have learned a lot about bisexuality in the workplace, bisexuality in the community, but they've also possibly also been to live-action Space Invaders and a workshop about fisting. Now, if you want people to come along to an event to learn about bisexuality from corporate organizations, kind of want to keep it to the first half of that and have a little bit less of the discussions about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and how to make sex toys for under a fiver. So that's one of the things I want to set up, hopefully, in the next year. I want to talk to people about that. And BikeOn is going to be the place where I'll find those people, because it's, you know, up to 450 people coming together for a residential weekend where not everyone's bisexual, but the assumption you can make is that the person you're talking to is either bisexual or very bisexual friendly. So the conversations that happen don't suddenly get diverted by the need to go, ah, I'm about to mention I'm bisexual, how will all these people react? It doesn't happen, because it's a bisexual event, so the conversations just go straight through without any of the worry of, are people going to think I'm weird when I mention the bisexual thing?
Yeah, I know. I attended my first Because conference, and it was very, very nice to be around people who understood what you were talking. I mean, no, got you. You didn't have to explain yourself too much. And so the BikeOn, BikeOn is in August, and I think they're closing up their assist programs here in early July. I'm not sure of the date.
That's right. So, I don't have the date to hand. But yes, it's in the beginning of August. It's in Nottingham this year. It's a different part of the country every year to make sure that, you know, it's differently local to people. So if you do have travel issues, or you're a lower income, or you can only make it for a day due to work commitments, if you can't get to it this year, next year it'll be a different part of the country. It'll be closer to where you are, possibly. I'm actually looking to possibly coming out to the US next year and coming to Because myself.
Oh, I'll be very happy to see you there, because I will be there.
I've read a lot about it and seen people commenting online and posting online about what a fabulous event it is. So I'm very much hoping that, as it's been a couple of years since I made it out to a US bisexual conference, to come along to next year's Because. Yes, John?
Yeah, a quick question on BikeOn. Is there a BiRecon this year or not?
BiRecon happens on alternate years, so it only happens on even-numbered years. So BiRecon is going to be next year in 2016. BiRecon is a one-day bisexual research conference that normally happens at the beginning of BikeOn. So if BikeOn runs Friday to Sunday or Friday to Monday, then BiRecon will be on the Thursday. And it's generally a place where people who are involved in organizations which have B as part of their focus, or who are doing research into areas around bisexuality, can get together and present their findings ahead of the main BikeOn itself. But yeah, that happens every 2 years, so the next one of those is in 2016.
A few years back, there was one at Because, too. So there was actually one here. Do you remember anything about that or know anything?
I've not been to Because before. I'm looking forward to coming to it for the first time, hopefully next year.
We are looking forward to that, too. I think Meg Barker came out to the BiRecon we had here, and they had talked about doing it this year, but resources and time didn't allow it. So hopefully they'll have another one here at Because soon.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to ask was, you know, my take was that in England, Idaho Bits had been really pretty much pushed earlier. This year we had, you know, it was kind of convoluted where, you know, it was including bisexuals in it, but it was still the Idaho Bit. Idaho instead of Idaho Bit.
Yes.
What about, yeah, in you know, because I know that, like, in especially in 2014, I saw a lot of bi-inclusive stuff going on in England, especially, like, some of the, you know, like, local governments. And so, like, add bisexuality and biphobia to the call.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the things that I think happens when you've got some joined-up thinking. Here in the UK, a lot of the organisations that plan a long time in advance their campaigns hadn't heard that this year we were including biphobia in International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia and biphobia. So they'd got all of their stuff in place already, and it just automatically, you know, rolled out when the time came. Whereas the smaller organizations who are actually more engaged with their followers on, for example, Twitter, because they're smaller, they've got to be more responsive, they've got to be engaging more with people, were seeing things coming up to the day saying, let's get ready for Ida Hobbit, let's get, you know, our hashtags in line, and they could go back to their directors and say, actually, this is what's happening on social media. If we can match up with this, we will go a lot further.
Right.
One of the things is that, of course, the official organization isn't about to change the website names and all of those, but has genuinely said that, yes, it should be Hide a Hobbit. It should have the B in the name of the day, if not the website itself. So I think we're going to see more and more organizations next year getting that right. I would be very surprised if by 2017 it wasn't Ida Hobbit across the board. But the question is, of course, that is this just a change in name, or is it actually that people's attitudes themselves are being updated as well? Because so many places seem to think that bisexuality is just a flavor of being gay.
Exactly.
And that biphobia is just a type of homophobia. So it doesn't occur to them that biphobia can come from gay people.
Mm-hmm.
That gay people can be biphobic, or that you can have things which are biphobic without being homophobic.
Right.
So many people seem to treat bisexuality as being gay but also into, rather than thinking about actual bisexual people. So if they're fighting for equal rights, they're fighting for the gay rights of bisexual people.
Right.
And so what we need to do is get people to understand that there's more to being bisexual than just being a gay person who also likes the opposite or different sex. It's a separate thing. And that the people they see in their community, the people who are using their helpline or going along to their bar in the LGBT community, are a small minority of the bisexual people. The bi people who are out in the gay scene are a tip of the iceberg, really. If you think of a giant block of ice in the shape of the letter B floating in the water, you know, that top loop poking out of the water is the visible bisexuals in the gay community. That's the smaller loop on a B. Under the waterline, under the waves, there's that larger bottom half of the B. It's more than a half. It's more like two-thirds. Maybe it's seven-eighths. Who knows? There's a lot of bisexual people out there that don't fit under the LGBT umbrella. They don't see themselves as being gay or think of themselves as wanting to go to gay clubs. If their staff network says we're having a day for our gay staff, they're not going to want to go to that. They're not going to want to out themselves. Research has shown that bisexual people are 8 times less likely to be out at work than gay people. And that's not just because of the straight community's attitude towards bisexual people. It's also because of the gay community's attitude towards bisexual people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking for my first bisexual support, I was looking for the bisexual community initially, way, way back in 1991, and I rang up the local, you know, gay phone line and said to them, I want to find out about bisexual groups. The very first thing they said to me was, well, are you sure you're bisexual?
Oh, my goodness.
They said to me, we've got a group. We know when it happened. Before we tell you what time and where you need to go to, are you sure you're bisexual? You might actually be gay. Lots of people say they're bisexual as the stepping stone to gay because they don't want to come out as being gay. So they say bisexual because it's easier. Or they're bisexual for a bit and then they realize they were actually gay. And I had to say to the guy on the phone, I've already come out as gay. I've come out as gay to my mother, my family, my friends, my grandparents. I've had a boyfriend for, you know, 2 years. I've been on the gay scene. I've been to gay bars. I've joined gay organizations. I'm quite comfortable saying I'm gay. But my sexuality is changing. It's fluid for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've become bisexual. At which point the phone line guy said, oh, well, maybe you're making the reverse journey then. Maybe you're going from gay to straight. And being bi will be a stepping stone for you in the other direction. I said, well, I don't know, and I'll find out when I get to the bi community. And he gave me the details, and I went away, and I joined the bi community, and 21 years later, there is no, 24 years later now, I'm still bisexual. My sexuality was fluid, and it flowed, and then it stopped, and I'm still bisexual. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, if your listeners haven't checked out the Still Bisexual campaign on Twitter and YouTube, they really should, because that's some excellent videos and information there going out. It's important for people to realize that bisexuality doesn't stop just because a person's in a relationship.
Yeah,
so many
we have
people say to me things like, well, you're married now, Marcus, so are you still bisexual? And it's like, well, bisexuality isn't who I'm having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
Bisexuality isn't who I'm living with. Mm-hmm. Bisexuality is about attraction. It's simply attraction to more than one gender. It's nothing to do with what you're actually physically doing with people. So, yes, of course,
exactly.
I'm still bisexual.
We have a term that we use here a lot called orientation maintenance. And it really comes from the fact that, you know, you know, as a bisexual, you are continually having to come out throughout your life. And at various points in your life, you're not doing mostly bisexual work. You're doing other kinds of political organizing. I mean, you know, we had a Gulf War in the early 2000s, and it was very funny because I met, you know, I saw all of my bisexual friends doing the organizing against the war, but we were not engaging in bisexual activism at that point. We were engaging in anti-war work. And that, you know, as you're out through your life, you're really identified by, in the outside, you're identified by the relationship you're in. And, you know, at times you really need to bring that back all up and really do your orientation maintenance because, you know, that kind of erasure around you of yourself is really damaging.
It is. We love the Still Bisexual campaign. We try to promote Crystal's campaign as much as we can. And some of us have said we were going to actually do it, but have not done it.
I have said I will get round to doing it, and I shall do at some point, but I haven't actually done it yet. I'm very sorry, Crystal. I am very sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I will get round to it.
I know.
The orientation maintenance is absolutely the case. I mean, people think in terms of two boxes. This is how bisexual erasure works. People want to categorize everyone into being gay or straight. And that's an improvement from not categorizing people at all because it's assumed everyone's straight and we don't need to worry, which happened when I was a kid. But the assumption now is that everyone's either gay or straight. And that when we want to talk about bisexuality, that we've got to, as bisexuals, decloak and turn off our invisibility fields. And this is, I think, the wrong way to think about it. Shiri Eisner talks about this brilliantly in her Bisexual Revolution book. But it's not about bisexuals being invisible. It's not something that we're doing. We're not turning on our invisibility. We're being erased. Bisexual erasure is what's happening, not bisexual invisibility.
Right.
Society teaches people not to consider other options.
Mm-hmm.
If at all possible, put things into two categories: male, female, black, white, gay, straight, rich, poor, friend, enemy, you know,
mm-hmm.
two categories. So if people are either gay or straight, then anything which makes you think someone's going to be gay, you're going to say, well, I suspect they're gay, like it's something suspicious, suspicion that they're gay, allegedly
gay,
rumoured to be gay. But very few things make people go, oh, I wonder if, you know, Fred is bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, to be visible bisexuals, we need to put on purple T-shirts and wear badges that say bi and parade down the street, a part of gay pride, all these things. And that's good. That's a great way for other bisexual people to find you if you want to put those things on and be a signpost to the community. And signposting the community is very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Being a visible bisexual person that way, when I've done it, has always made positive contact with people saying, oh my God, a bisexual person. I thought I was the only one. Where can I find out about this? Where can I find out about that? Where do I go? What do I do? But the problem with it in terms of bisexual visibility versus bisexual erasure is, if people think that person over there wearing the purple T-shirt, carrying the pink, purple, and blue flag, that's what a bisexual looks like, then they're not thinking the clerk behind the desk at the grocery store might be bisexual. They're not thinking the teller at the bank might be bisexual, or the policewoman, or the gas station attendant, or their great-grandfather might be bisexual. Bisexual visibility is very useful, but we've got to couple it with stopping people assuming that unless they can tell a person is bisexual because they've got the word bisexual on them, that they can't be bisexual. This whole everyone's either gay or straight thinking, it's very hard to chip away at, but we've got to do it. Because
we're
not just the visible bisexuals. That's the that little B circle at the top of the B out of the water, the big circle under the water of the biceberg, or whatever you want to call it. That's where the rest of the bisexual people are. The majority of the bisexual people aren't visibly bisexual.
Right. And we have a unique opportunity. I just talked about this with somebody else, to, you know, help people understand that sexuality is not a black and white situation. And along with that, we can also then talk about gender diversity.
Yes.
And I think it's a way you kind of retrain people to use their brains differently. And yeah, I agree with you with that.
I mean, we make a very special point on the website to be as gender inclusive as we can with the language. We try not to talk about things being about men and women. We try to use terms like similar gender and different gender rather than same and opposite. And opposite is such an adversarial word, isn't it? They're the opposite. This is me.
Yeah.
They are everything that I am not. It's a real
and I don't know anyone like that.
Kind of
view,
you know. So using very much gender diversity inclusive language, using very trans inclusive language, making sure that the work we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to go back
intersectionality.
About...
So making sure that we're not saying these are what bisexual people look like and then showing people a picture of eight white, middle class, good looking, able bodied teenagers in purple T-shirts. You know, we've got to be inclusive of race. We've got to be inclusive of disability. We've got to be inclusive of a range of sizes, of a range of genders, of a range of abilities. You know, we can't, when we've got this opportunity to say to people, you're missing something out. You're not thinking broadly enough. only broaden their minds by half an inch. You know, we've got to knock that door open and broaden their mind the whole way, or it's not worth doing.
Yeah, I was going to go back to like your little conversation back in 91. We have a term, especially in the male community here, of the one drop rule, which means that, you know, any same sex that you've had automatically makes you 100% gay, even if it's been once. And
yes, I've heard of this. It's a very entertaining idea. It happens with in the reverse for, I think, bisexual women. If you're a man and you've had sex with one man and 99 women, that rule says you're gay. But if you're a woman and you've had sex with 99 women and one man, that says you're bisexual. Because society really doesn't privilege bisexual men. And it fetishizes bisexual women because, you know, it's the magic power of cock or something that if you have any, you've got to be obsessed by it.
Exactly. Thank you. So I really cut John off. I asked his question earlier. John, did you have anything else you might want to add?
Yeah, I was going to put in. I actually think that's one thing. I also think that for the bisexual movement, because women, it's been a women-led movement generally, I think at least in this country, and I see it in other places in the world too, that bisexual women have been able to make a lot more advances than bi men have, right? And, I mean, we have, like, you know, just we celebrated the 10th anniversary of a great New York Times article, Gay, Straight, or Lying, which basically, basically said that we don't exist. And, in fact, there were bi women in those days and going through that basically kind of believed parts of that. And I saw like really in some of that after time of completely ignoring bi male issues, except for HIV, and saying that, you know, that was the only health issue, and that was the only issue that was really pertaining to the bi men, and and of course some of that we've learned that, you know, it's not always the case. There's a study that shows that our rate of HIV exposure goes way down once we come out of the closet.
Yes.
And
that only makes sense.
Yeah, and that's an important thing. And you know, you're talking about like, you know, showing how few of us are out. There was a Pew study a few years back, which we have a lot of problems with, but it said about a third of bi women are out to most people in their lives. And only 12% of bi men are out to most people in their lives. And so, you know, we have a huge, huge battle to actually gain visibility, actually bring so many of these men out of the closet and be able to actually live their lives fully.
We need to bring everybody out. I'm sorry. I was just saying we need to get everybody out of the closet for everybody's mental health.
Well, so there's a lot of issues there. I mean, I think the reason that bisexual women can be out and bisexual men can't is very much that society fetishizes bisexual women. It overly over-sexualizes them. And bisexual men are not understood. The mainstream media is all run by straight white men.
Mm-hmm.
And they like homosexuality, if they've got to deal with it at all, to be something they can package neatly into a stereotype they find safe and inoffensive. It's no real surprise that the main gay men in the UK media who are popular despite being gay men are not so much inoffensive as not a threat to masculinity.
Right.
So there's it's Steve. More, it's more, not incredibly effeminate, but more effeminate than, mm-hmm. for example, heterosexual male TV presenters. It's very much a, if we're going to have gay people on television, they're going to make sure that it's gay people they won't feel threatened by. And this is the big problem they have with bisexuality, is that bisexuality is people who are attracted to women just like they are, but are also attracted to other genders.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty for them is that this means that these are people who are just like them, apart from this one thing. What if they have to think about that one thing, going back through what John says about the HIV stuff? One of the big problems, I think, is that a lot of work targeting men who have sex with men, MSM, as they call it in the sex ed fields, tries to be not about sexuality. It tries to be about just, you know, this is just what's happening, this is what you're doing. It doesn't matter how you identify, gay or bi, or not using the labels. But then when they put it out, and they give out the material, they send it out to gay places. So mm-hmm. if you are a bisexual man and you want to get advice on safer sex, you first got to be able to have the confidence to turn up to a gay place or read a gay newspaper. You know, my local library has a rack of cards for a variety of things, local attractions, petting farm, that kind of thing. And there's a leaflet they have for the local LGBT youth group, which offers counselling services, safer sex advice, free condoms. Now, that would be a really useful resource for bisexual teenagers. But the bit of the card that pokes out of the rack so you can tell what it's about has just as one big rainbow-coloured word, gay. Now, that's a barrier. That's a gay bar of a different sort. Because if you don't see yourself as being part of the gay umbrella, and so many people want to use gay as an umbrella, we fought for years to get gay changed to gay and lesbian, changed to gay, lesbian, bisexual and trans. People want to just contract that back down on the grounds that gay is a good abbreviation. It's not. But that mm-hmm. card isn't going to be picked up by a bisexual teenager who doesn't see himself as gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be read. The information is not going to get out there.
Absolutely. You know, I wouldn't have picked it up.
If I'm going to the greengrocers and the greengrocers got in stock apples, oranges, pears and bananas, but to save time, he's going to call those apples as a group name. And I say, what have you got? He says, apples. I'm going to picture apples.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to picture bananas or lettuces or potatoes, you know.
Exactly.
If you say gay, people think you mean just gay.
I was going to say cucumbers and bananas right now because I was really, really thought that was an amazing show. I don't know if you've seen it. And, you know, I mean, the great piece of it was that it did have characters of various flavors of gender and orientations in it as real people.
Yeah. But obviously there is a difficulty with TV stereotypes because even in shows which have LGBT characters and several LGBT characters, people want to be able to easily hang tags on characters. So a bisexual character is going to be probably flaky or
mm-hmm.
indecisive or in denial or be seen as being straight one minute and gay the next. You know,
one show that I recommend everybody watch is Sense8. It's brought to you by Andy and Lana Wachowski. They used to be called the Wachowski brothers.
The Wachowski siblings, yes.
Yes, the Wachowski siblings. Actually, that was their correct name. It covers everything: gender, sexuality, and bisexuality. And these are not flaky people. I recommend it. I really do. Also, Orphan Black. It could have a little more detail, but it is pretty diverse too. So, and I have another podcast about it. So
one of the things, you know, and I always really put out a character on a TV show being bisexual should be entirely incidental. You know,
it should be.
So
it should
often
be not...
that heterosexuality isn't a plot point. You know,
exactly.
It's a detective show, and these things have happened because Detective Jake is a straight man.
It does, yeah.
Detective Jake is a straight white man, you know, so he's done these things in a straight white man fashion. No, bisexuality should just be an incidental thing, that it just happens that something...
Yeah, they happen to, yeah,
...can
exactly.
be attributed to bisexuals. Exactly. I was watching an episode of Continuum recently, and it was just mentioned in passing in the, you know, bit of the show that's set in the far future, that a female character's disappearance had been reported by her wife.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no further plot point to it at all. It was just, this is set in the future, we're going to have, you know, similar sex marriage pretty much everywhere, we'll just have that character be married to a woman.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
brilliant. It should be entirely incidental, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be, it's bisexual, therefore the bisexual is the murderer. You know?
Right.
That's basic instinct. It shouldn't be...
Or the cheater.
Yeah, it's bisexual, therefore the bisexual person is completely sex-obsessed. Like Torchwood.
Right.
It shouldn't be the bisexual person has flipped from being straight to being gay, like Willow in Buffy.
Right.
It should just be as incidental as that character having long hair, or that character having a tattoo. It doesn't have to mean something, you know?
It's one of the things I had with Orphan Black when... one of the characters came out as bisexual. It was like presented almost at the beginning of the story that they had become bisexual for a plot device, for a reason, you know, or I don't know how to explain that, but they weren't really bisexual. They were doing it because they needed something.
Mm-hmm.
But it does come to light that they were actually
bisexual.
This is
a common
bisexual.
Thing as well, though, isn't it? That bisexual people are a useful thing in a story because bisexual people need to have sexual encounters with the gender they've been getting less of recently. So, you know, if I'm mm-hmm. married, people say to me, but what do you do about your bisexual side, Marcus? What do you do about it? Do you go off? Do you go off and have adventures? And I'm like, bisexuality is not about who I'm having sex with. And you know, if you're attracted to both blondes and brunettes, does your wife have to wear the blonde wig sometimes?
Exactly.
You know, if you're attracted to both tall and short people, are you constantly pining for someone who's a couple of inches shorter? It doesn't work that way. It's just about breadth of attraction. It's not about a huge gnawing need to be out there doing something else with someone else. That's called having a high libido. Plenty of bisexual people have that. Plenty of gay people have that. Plenty of straight people have that. It's nothing to do with sexuality.
Right.
So?
All the links will be provided on the website.
All righty, Marcus. I want to remind everyone, this has been a great interview, by the way.
Thank you.
I want to remind everyone, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are bisexual. Thank you, Marcus.
Thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
bah.